Councillor questions. Paul.
Thank you very much. It's a question to the Leader. Having already wasted £35 million on the Council's regeneration plans, why have you not carried out a detailed viability assessment for the Council-owned site on Greenhill Way?
I think, firstly, I have to say it's totally wrong to say that £35 million has been wasted on the Council's regeneration programme. Since 2015, the capital expenditure of £27.8 million has been incurred or assigned, which has supported key elements of the regeneration programme. And some of these things include the £11 million on purchasing the 70 units on Gayton Road, which are all occupied by Harrow residents, £3.5 million on land assembly works on the social club and the temple sites, and also £2 million on high-quality housing development at Haslam House and Waxwell Lane, which are planned to delivery stage and will provide a surplus capital receipt for the council. The council's regeneration strategy and overall ambition of the council is to provide high quality new homes for Harrow. And this is something that Keith Ferry has lead on this, as regularly said, and it's been in a number of reports. So the Greenhill Way site is a high value town centre council asset, which is strategically located and is a prime asset for a major mixed use leisure, retail and housing development alongside the housing development delivered by the council and public and private sector partners in Harrow and across the borough. Given the Strategic Development Partnership Programme timescales, it is not the right time to include the Greenhill Way sites within the existing programme of sites. However, there could be a potential in the future to include the sites once further investigations and proposals are considered, evaluated and assessed as viable.
Thank you. First of all, I note on page 198 of the Cabinet reports, it points out that the Council consider, this is about Greenhill Way, the Council consider that Greenhill Way is a good centrally located site to regain the interest of a joint venture partner. They then specifically exclude it in the following report, which I find curious. But I wonder if you could confirm to me that this regeneration programme was originally meant to bring in millions of pounds in revenue to the Council. That was the thing that started it all off. It was us being really commercial and going out there and making money by other sources. Will you now confirm that it now will not bring any extra revenue into the council and actually will cost the council, as set out on page 217, £5.1 million in revenue expenditure?
I think of when you said, when Keith, this question's been asked numerous times by yourself and other people from your own group, and Keith and Adam have both said the same thing about a number of the points. When it was launched in 2014, there was previously no regeneration programme set up on these sites. And also at that time, we hadn't had a referendum, we hadn't had a change of an emergency general election, and all those things have had an impact across our regeneration programme design and delivery. And I will argue the point that there's uncertainty within the building market at the moment anyway, because they're uncertain the way the general government is going. We're not sure where it's going in the direction. And there's also uncertainty. It's uncertainty in the country and there's uncertainty in Europe around where we go. And most of the building costs are based around the euros. And you laughed about this before, but maybe you need to check with some of the major developers around it. So when we talk about regeneration programme, we're not like one of those councils with hundreds of millions of pounds in reserves. We have just approximately about £10 million unallocated reserves at this moment in time. So we cannot afford to take some of the risks other councils can take. So we are not going to rush into things. And we're going out to ask, and Keith will explain this when we come to the report, to seek into a partnership with, so we can move some of this forward with someone who's skilled in this area of work. And they might come back, you might be surprised, but we might come back, and they might come back with quite some valued proposals that will give us an income into this council. What we've got to be careful of is that we do not put any risk against this council, because the way the austerity agenda is still going in this country, the way that the uncertainty around the council's funding is ongoing, understanding that there's a £26 million gap over the next few years in this council's budget because of because all our grant funding's been taken away, it does make sure we to be a bit more cautious about what we do on our regeneration programme.
So the answer then is yes, it won't make £7 million a year. It will, in fact, lose £5 million. Okay.
If you've got a crystal ball, you can put the money on the National Lottery tomorrow.
£7 million was in your budget.
Do you want to move on to question number two?
The £7 million was in your budget, and the £5 million is on the papers on page 217. What is your long-term vision for Harrow's road network?
Well, long-term vision deserves a long-term answer, I suppose, but a long answer. But I think it's quite clear. The Council's Transport Local Implementation Plan sets out a long-term vision up to 2041 and accords with the Mayor's London Transport Strategy. The LIP3 that's on the agenda tonight sets out that journey over the next 20 years with a number of targets set within the plan to deliver actions by 2021. Importantly, it contains all of Harrow's transport objectives, policies, delivery proposals and outcomes that the borough is seeking to achieve. The core aim is to facilitate growth and the increasing demand to travel through the introduction of healthy streets. This would help to facilitate a modal shift to increase the proportion of trips made by walking, cycling and travel by bus and other sustainable transport modes. Personally, I fully support Vision Zero, which establishes our intention to eliminate all road traffic deaths and serious injuries by 2041. This is a serious challenge with a lot based around changing people's behaviours. Secondly, healthy streets, which will help us work towards creating a healthier and more attractive street environment, increasing the number of people walking, cycling and using public transport, and changing streets so that the quality of life for all people is improved. This will enable people to live well and reduce inequalities within our borough.
So as part of your plans to put thousands upon thousands of extra houses in Harrow, do you have any plans to significantly upgrade the road network?
Well, you've got to look at where the finances are coming from to improve the road network. The grant from government to TfL was taken away, £700 million. So our flow-through grant that we used to get for the road network has disappeared. All of the vehicle excise duty that is collected is spent on roads outside of the borough, which leaves us in Harrow, the road network, being paid for out of council tax money. How much money we can borrow to actually improve the roads is quite a significant question, because in essence we need in excess of, a few years ago it was over £70 million to bring them up to a set standard, and I think our budget at the moment is less than £5 million a year. So unless we get an influx of cash, then we're going to have difficulty improving that part of the road.
We do have an influx of cash. It's called the SIL money, and it's tens of millions of pounds, just to be clear.
The SIL money can be used, and it waits when we collected it. You can't spend it before you've got it. So would you like to move on? The question number three, I think, is from Marilyn.
Yes, good evening, Leader. That's a question for you. Recently, there have been numerous cross-party meetings cancelled. How serious is the Leader's commitment to truly work cross-party on the strategic, life-changing regeneration projects?
Thank you, Marilyn. I think we've had this discussion before, but I am genuinely pleased that we have had the opportunity to start to work cross-party on our plans to develop and shape the proposed Harrow Strategic Development Partnership. The approach very much builds on the work and success of the Major Developments Panel. And I've also seen that the shadow portfolio holders having cross-party meetings with Cabinet members to also undertake some of that cross-party, genuine sort of work and discussion. But I also recognise there is more to do, and we can go further and hope that we can develop our work cross-party as we progress the development of the strategic partnership and the delivery of our regeneration programme.
Yes, well, actually, there's been three of our scheduled cross-party meetings cancelled, and with respect, I haven't had a meeting with Varta in spite of asking for one for some time. And I think the point is this, that we really do need to take this rather seriously. We're going into what is essentially a joint venture. I know you haven't called it that, but it is a partnership with the private sector. And what we have to do is we're going to have to, although the procurement process is obviously in of itself a legal requirement and has to do its own thing without any political intervention, because that is the nature of it, we would like to be involved in the decision making. Ultimately, obviously, the administration makes the final decision. We are very concerned with respect to you as leader that your deputy leader, the portfolio holder for Regeneration, is not that keen on engaging with us. When we had the one meeting that we had with you, I can honestly say that Councillor Schwerski and yourself were very engaged and polite and interested in what we had to say. But unfortunately, it didn't produce very much because we made one suggestion, and if you look at page 207, paragraph 2.5, it says, "The Greenhill Waste site is not included at this stage as the site remains a key strategic site for future development opportunities." In other words, you're not going to be including it at this stage because you've rejected our suggestion that at the same time as making an assessment of Peel Road and the Byron sector and obviously taking into account this site, you're not doing it concurrently with what we suggested you did. So we haven't started off very well. And so really what I'm saying to you is that I do believe that you as an individual would like to engage with us. I think you are reasonably keen on that, but I actually don't believe that your portfolio holder for Regeneration has any intention of doing so. But there we are.
Well, I think Harrow is rewriting Oxford English Dictionary, because when we talk about team, we mean one person or more. And numerous is now three. But apart from that, I just think in a way that... Well, you said numerous, and then you said three meetings have been cancelled.
Numerous, three.
We've only been going at this for a few weeks. This is not excessive. But I have said we do genuine consultation, but we're not holding meetings if there's nothing to meet about. And so we need to make sure all the information is available. So you mentioned about Keith, but Keith meets loads of people on a regular basis, because I'm trying to get into his diary at times to fit a meeting in with him, because he's meeting all these people. So, well, you've got to ask the right questions. But the thing is, I think in a way that we are working better cross-party than we have done in the past. And I said before that we generally would like to work cross-party on a number of issues and number of things, and I've seen it take place on a number of council committees where people are working across party to understand for the future of Harrow itself. So, moving forward, I hope you do come get involved with some of the things that are taking place around the strategic partnership. You know, when we have these meetings, I know you get more briefings than... I remember when I was in opposition trying to get a briefing, it was restricted. So we have changed that you're on regular, have regular briefings around things. There is also, when we move forward into developing a strategic partnership, there will be a number of meetings that you'll be involved with, and also cross-party, to have those discussions to make sure we're moving forward in the right way. Or agreement, and then we're going to have a difference of opinion as well, and we can discuss that if you need to. But what I will not do is have a meeting just for having a meeting's sake to sit there and discuss nothing. I think we're all exceptionally busy and we haven't got time for that. So if a meeting, the information is not available, then we have to postpone those meetings. And that's. But I do say that I do welcome the cross-party working, and I hope it does continue going forward.
Right, next question.
The next one's Tavasha, I believe.
It is, yes. Does the portfolio holder for the environment believe the council is offering our residents a fit-for-purpose refuse collection service?
Thank you, Marilyn. Now, you've asked me this question quite a few times in different ways, and you know the answer's going to be yes. We've got a new fleet and we have great teams, so we are delivering an excellent service within the financial envelope that we have available. And you know that our collection is 99.97%, so that is, I think, brilliant. And, you know, I am proud. I know we've had some questions today of how our teams do respond quickly to the concerns, and we do resolve issues in that. I know residents have concerns in that, and you know, more than welcome for them to let us know, and we will sort them out. But the other thing, Marilyn, and I'm sure that you would probably join me, is that I want to congratulate our teams because we've introduced the food waste collection for over 17,000 flats, the largest of any authority in the country. So we are doing lots of good work. And can I just say also what you mentioned about that you've contacted me about meeting up. I know we did say about it, and for whatever reason, we haven't met up. So I do apologise, but offline after this meeting, let's get together.
I welcome that. Thank you. We get on very well, believe it or not. Just slightly beg to differ on certain things. A supplemental question, please. I think the problem is, and I would respectfully ask you to consider this. I gather from the officers that they're doing a review. I know this is a slight problem. Things don't work very well, do they? We're doing a review, I gather, of the refuse collection service, and namely the garden waste service. I would like to suggest, because you know how helpful I can be, that we actually consider the idea of making it less complicated, that we introduce an auto-renew system whereby people can automatically renew their subscription, but that we go to an annual basis. This is something we had in our manifesto. Because part of the problem is we've got the year and half year. I know why we did it, and we are trying to be helpful. I'm not disputing that. But there's clearly a lot of confusion around. I'm not talking about the computer malfunction. That's been sorted out. I'm talking about the actual system that we're using. And, you know, the way I see it, and I have discussed this, to be fair, with the, you know, with the officers, I think it's important that we make it as easy for ourselves and therefore better for the residents as is humanly possible. And at the moment, it's costing us a lot of money because we're having to keep going back again and again to correct problems and empty bins that are missed. And there's a lot of missed bins and ones we don't know about because we only really record the ones that are reported within 48 hours. Actually, there's a lot more. So I don't think that, with respect, the statistics that you're quoting are correct, because in actual fact, there's a lot more that are missed. And people, by the time they get round to reporting it, they've missed that slot, and we haven't recorded that. So I would urge you, particularly on the garden waste system, to consider very strongly and very quickly making it a lot easier for people to pay and a lot less complicated, because it's really not working very well. I know there are other problems, but particularly the garden waste, because we're charging people for it extra. And, you know, if you went into Tesco's and bought loads of food and they said, I'm terribly sorry, you can't have the food, though you've paid for it, you'd be annoyed. So it's not dissimilar from this. And I would welcome, you know, the fact that perhaps you would really have a proper look at this with the officers. I'm happy to help.
Well, that's great, Marilyn, because when we meet up, maybe we'll discuss it a bit further and we can take something to the officers to have a look at and see what we can do.
I hope we've got time for all my questions, because Councillor Palmer's is last this time. She's always upset if she doesn't get one. Councillor Swirsky, what happened to Project Infinity?
Thank you for the question, Councillor Armand. As you're aware, having been part of the project board, Project Infinity, we did experience a number of delays in the development of the product, obviously flagged early on, and you did a great job of flagging some of those and pushing our partner on them. We also know we faced a number of challenges with the market in terms of the expectations on how we would sell the product and the realities that we faced. As a result of that, and in light of the need to take decisions around going live with the products in Harrow and the costs, both financial and also in terms of staff time and in terms of moving a lot of people onto a new system, we conducted a review earlier this year and that ultimately led to a decision to come to a mutual termination agreement with IBM, which we have successfully executed, and the agreement ended in April. I would say, of course, it's not the conclusion to the project that I think either of us would have wanted. But if I look back and think, would I once again embark on a project which is highly innovative, bringing in global expertise and capability, a respected partner, taking on some risk, mainly on our partner side, but on our side as well. Would I do that again? Absolutely. I think it was completely the right thing to do. And, of course, we wish IBM every success with the product.
You referred to the costs. At the beginning of last November, they were about $915,000 to the council. How much did they finish up at, and what, if anything, did we get for all them?
Obviously happy to share. You know, you didn't put that question into the paper, so we haven't got updated numbers, but happy to share those with you afterwards. Some of that is also declared as part of our outturn because we're able to cover some of the costs and the write-offs as part of our wash-up at the end of the year. As I say, obviously we didn't want the partnership to end this way, but I think there was substantial learning from our perspective in terms of working with that kind of partner, and of course we moved forward and learned lessons and onto other and innovative projects.
My next question is to Simon Brown. Before I ask it, could I welcome his new director to these proceedings? I take an interest in your area of work, and not just because I'm old myself. How does the administration propose to achieve what it had hoped to achieve through Project Infinity?
Thank you, Councillor Armand. Well, I'm glad to say that it's business as usual for our adult social care clients who use our personalisation systems to manage their personal budgets. Because as you know, one of the objectives of Project Infinity was to migrate and establish the functionalities of our Harrow-developed My Community ePurse system, which I'll call MyCEP from now on, onto the IBM Watson Care Manager platform. So this migration isn't going ahead now, but MyCEP remains fit and well. It enables our social care clients to manage their direct payments through a system that gives them choice from a wide range of approved local care providers and includes a detailed audit trail of expenditure, obviating the need to keep paper records. User surveys indicate that the residents do experience a greater sense of choice and control when they're using MyCEP over the more traditionally commissioned care packages. So we're in fine shape with MyCEP, and we are currently carrying out a review of MyCEP and the CarePlace software that works underneath it, which is in use by a number of authorities in the West London Alliance, to see how we can enhance and bring in other capabilities within that package.
Is it now generally accepted that the CarePlace route is likely to be a much better and more effective one than the Watson one ever would have been, and that it's a matter of regret that it took so long to reach that route?
Sorry, that was a question. I think it was a statement, but
you referred to CarePlace.
Is it indeed
now accepted that that is a more likely to be a more fruitful route, and is accepted as such than ever the Watson one would have been, and that it's a pity we didn't reach that conclusion sooner?
I don't necessarily accept it is better than IBM Watson Care Manager, which is a very fully functional, wide-ranging care management system. As Councillor Swirsky outlined, we weren't able to go down that route, but that's no reflection on the capabilities of the IBM package as a whole. However, CarePlace is also a good system. We are looking, for example, to implement the e-brokerage module, which we've already generated efficiency with in children's services, and we're looking to see how we can use that in adult services. And we are reviewing with them various other options, including dynamic purchasing systems, personal health budgets, and a resource directory, along with support for social prescribing. So there are a number of initiatives that we are currently working on to bring greater, to enhance the capabilities that we can offer to our social care residents here in Harrow.
Thank you. This is to the Leader of the Council. What value do you expect to be added to the Council's work by your portfolio holder assistants?
Firstly, they bring support to the Cabinet members for specific areas in a fast-moving environment. Importantly, they also give a pathway within this role for further development and responsibility as councillors, which also increases their value to residents. Did you have a supplementary, Richard?
Technology, so that's not my strongest point. The papers tonight describe the portfolio holder's duties as including assisting the portfolio holder in establishing and maintaining professional, effective and efficient working relationships with opposition groups, chairs of committees and other councillors. The papers tonight include recommendations of a number of appointments, one of them being Councillor Peymana Assad to be what's described as the Assistant for Community Cohesion West. In the lead up to last Thursday's elections, she posted on Instagram this: either you vote to take out the white supremacists or you vote to split the vote and let them in. It's that simple. Vote Labour. That's a clear statement that anybody who wasn't going to vote Labour and didn't vote Labour falls into the category of a white supremacist. And that incidentally obviously includes a lot of members of your party who voted other than Labour last week. How do you view posting such a message as that is conducive to her work in fostering effective and efficient working relationships with opposition groups?
We haven't been at disadvantage because I haven't seen that report on the thing. But what I will say is she is doing a lot of good work currently around the South Harrow area, where we have a major problem with community cohesion because of the threat of gang work that's taking place and also those isolated communities that they're working on. So with the comments made, I have to sort of look at that different further, and I have to get back to you with the first part because I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it.
We can have them sent to you. And the final one, as promised, is to Councillor Palmer. Has any calculation been made of the likely capital and revenue costs to the Council of giving effect to the Transport Local Implementation Plan as it now stands?
Thank you, Richard. The Council's Transport Local Implementation Plan, known as the LIP3, has a programme of investment which is funded from the annual transport grant contributions received from TfL. This is further supported by developer contributions received to mitigate the transport impact of developments and the Council's funding of the parking management programme.
The plan, which I expect is going to be adopted in a short while, contains tables showing the potential financial exposure of the Council and others, and the report, as a preface to it, makes it clear that none of the funding which might come from Transport for London and might come from other sources outside this borough, none of it is guaranteed. And it also makes it clear that if we decline to carry out some work that the Mayor of London requires us to, he can have it carried out and then bill us for the cost. So there is a real likelihood of severe financial exposure which wouldn't be covered other than through our own means. So hence my question: what calculations have been made, because some surely must be made, so that we know what the possibilities for us are?
Sorry, I just double-checked with David. Through the business plan, we have been guaranteed the funding, so if anything from that changes, then obviously we will have to look at it again.
Well, can I suggest then that the report's altered, because that's not what it says? And finally, could I just remind you that my written answer to question 7 from last time is outstanding?
Well, thank you very much. We've allowed that to go on longer, but it's good to get through all the questions within some time this evening, especially for Richard, who sat there patiently last time waiting for one question and got deferred to this meeting. Anyway, so we now move on to item six, which is